Monitor 69 with music by the Gabriel Brass. Title by Geoffrey Chaucer, Wife of Bach. Indeed, here's Monitor 69. I'm Gene Rayburn, 21 plus, give or take a few. It's been an eventful week, you know, with a presidential press conference in Washington, an election in West Berlin, a border clash between Russia and China, and out of this world history was made by our astronauts in Apollo 9. As we go on through the weekend, we'll hear regular reports on Apollo from our NBC Space Center. Right now, we have music by Jackie Trent, her latest, Hollywood.
Beneath a Californium sunshine, there's a place you gotta see. The smell of sweet success is the only thing that you can get for free. The corny world of heroes on the
Hollywood, you're a millionaire. Hollywood, you're just ready to stare. Hollywood, love is. Hi, this is Marilyn May with the one and only Ella Fitzgerald singing my Lincoln Mercury song. This is a first.
Will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way? See, Lincoln Mercury's exciting marquee. It's pure luxury. Drive one to be a winner. Marquee is lush, handsome, roomy, and plush in a continental way. It's stunning design. Really, it's that 69. It's the hottest new line of today. Marquee makes it clear we've got the winners this year. Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
Thanks, Ella Fitzgerald. It's a great way to tell everybody about Marquee, the most beautiful thing that ever happened to a medium-priced car. Marquee, at your Lincoln Mercury dealers.
In Vietnam, the Army is field testing a new armored weapon, and it's been getting a mixed evaluation from combat commanders and the men who use it. Here with the story is NBC Newsman Bob Jones.
The Army's new 16-ton Sheridan tank is getting cautious reviews from commanders using them on the Vietnam battlefield. The tanks were sent over here because they are new, they are lightweight, and they have the best cannon and missile system ever installed on a track vehicle. But they also have a thin skin. The North Vietnamese soldiers have learned that they can knock out the Sheridan with a single rocket-propelled grenade from 30 to 50 yards away. Such was the case Friday when an RPG hit one of the Sheridans used by the 25th Infantry Division. One crewman was killed, others were wounded, and the tank went up in flames. The Sheridan tank is supposed to be the fastest track vehicle in the U.S. inventory. But the truth is that on most combat operations, it has to poke along to keep pace with the slower armored personnel carriers. Another argument for the Sheridan was that its guns adjust rapidly for firing at targets while moving. But in Vietnam, tanks are used primarily against bunker positions. One cavalry commander said he's never had a chance to try firing the Sheridan's guns on the run. The Sheridan's worst enemy will continue to be the persistence of the North Vietnamese soldiers. They persistently mine the roads, and they persistently fire armor-piercing rockets. The new Sheridan tank is not built to stand up to either assault. Bob Jones, NBC News, Saigon.
Public service, in case you forgot to wind your watch this morning. When I say the word woof, it will be exactly 15 minutes after. Woof. You're on the monitor beacon.
Hi, this is Charlie Brown, and these are some of the happenings around our town in the next few days, some things you may find of interest. There's a concert Sunday, March 9th. The Randolph Singers will present English, French, Italian, and modern madrigals, including Lament for April 15th, Tax Form 1040, set to music. Oh, it takes a trained ear to figure that one out. It takes place at 3 p.m. in Eisner and Lubin Auditorium, LaGuardia Place in Washington Square South. On Sunday, March 16th, the poetry reading, Allen Ginsberg, will read from his works at 3 p.m. Again, in Eisner and Lubin Auditorium, LaGuardia Place in Washington Square South. It's a free public event. Then on Monday, March 17th, there's a lecture. Professor Martin Kilson of Harvard University will lecture on the rise of Negro politics and leadership in the early 20th century at 8 p.m. in Eisner and Lubin Auditorium, LaGuardia Place in Washington Square South. And on Sunday, March 30th, a concert, the Arnie Lawrence Quintet playing live jazz, to be followed in the second half of the program by political satirist Dick Davies at 3 p.m. again in the Eisner and Lubin Auditorium, LaGuardia Place in Washington Square South.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Got to say hello, it's a lucky day. Kiss the moon goodbye and be on our way. It's
on? Oh, okay. Goodbye, Columbus. A farewell to an Ohio hometown by the association. Now, monitor tip for motorists. The National Safety Council points out that speed limits are just that, limits. You don't have to go that fast, and sometimes you shouldn't. It depends on weather, traffic, road conditions, locality, and the type of car you're driving. Now this word from State Farm.
David Frost here for State Farm Mutual. From the results of a series of violent meetings, it appears that, like the English, Americans are well on the way to solving the problem of overcrowded highways. Unfortunately, we're all doing it by a process of elimination. A typical meeting goes something like this. One auto, sometimes driven by a person who maybe shouldn't even hold a driver's license, violently meets another auto. Sometimes one driver is eliminated, sometimes both. State Farm doesn't feel that this is the way to solve the American traffic problem. They feel that the National Highway Safety Bureau's 16-step safety plan is a far better way. That's why they're urging you to support it too. Because if the violent meetings go on like this, the problem might well become what to do with empty highways. And who's going to be left around to solve that one?
For your car, your home, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Doing the facts. Does Plymouth really tell it like it is? Now, you other two cars, it's the court's opinion that Plymouth has features you two don't.
We don't.
Item one, Plymouth Fury 3 has torsion bar suspension, while you two
We've been thinking about it. Trying.
Other items, Plymouth has unitized construction for strength, a seven-step dip and spray process to fight rust. Do you two?
We spray like crazy.
But we don't...
Isn't it also true that Plymouth Fury 3 has bigger brakes than you two?
Yes.
A bigger trunk. More rear seat room.
Well, maybe they...
Even a standard electric clock.
Well, yes, Judge, but...
But what?
You should see our glove box light. I mean, it's beautiful.
The verdict is obvious. Plymouth tells it like it is. Straight down the pipe.
Down the pipe?
The pipe.
Oh, we have a pipe. We got two pipes.
Get the straight story for yourself. See your Plymouth dealer now during his great Plymouth sale. He tells it like it is.
Next, Capitol Hill Monitor profiles of prominent Washington legislators. Today we hear about Iowa's freshman Democratic Senator Harold Hughes, NBC Newsband Paul Duke reporting.
Iowa's new Senator Harold Hughes is an unusual man in many ways. He was three times elected governor in a Republican state. He is an outspoken liberal from a state that's basically conservative. Hughes grew up in the little town of Ivy Grove and still has a fondness for the rural life.
You're very deeply steeped in faith and exposed to nature and wildlife and the warmness of friendly people, and I think it has an overall good effect on the personality of any youngster.
Hughes is a big, brawny man who looks like he might be a truck driver, which is what he was as a young man. He also is a reformed alcoholic who won his first election on a pledge to get rid of the bootleggers by making liquor sales legal in Iowa.
I didn't want to quit. I wanted to continue drinking. I had a good capacity for it, being a large man, and it just continued and continued, and then it would suddenly have to end, either for lack of money or every place closed down that had any or some other reason. And you go through the normal experiences of drinking of anyone that's been a victim of this disease, such as blackouts, loss of memory, and everything that goes with it.
Hughes is an avid worker for Alcoholics Anonymous and thinks there may be a real trend away from drinking someday.
I find more and more people that do not drink at cocktail parties, and I find this very pleasing to me. They drink either fruit juice, ginger ale, 7-Up, or tomato juice or something, you know. And actually, if you were to take an inventory at most large cocktail parties, I'd hazard the guess that 25% of the people there are drinking non-alcoholic beverages, and the trend is away from the alcoholic beverage rather than to it at this type of a reception or an event.
Starting out as a Republican, Hughes switched to the Democratic Party because he felt more of a philosophical kinship, and in the process helped make the Democratic Party respectable in Iowa.
I can only recall one Democrat being on the main street of Ida Grove when I changed my party affiliation at that point. When I left there in state government, I think there were about 40 or 50% Democrats registered on the main street in Ida Grove.
As governor, Hughes was used to moving quickly in contrast to the slow pace of Congress.
Well, it's been a very difficult adjustment for me. I expect the thing for me to say would be that it's been easy, you know, and I enjoy it down here and everything is hunky-dory, but those simply aren't the facts. I understand from talking to most of the men that have been governors before that the transition's even harder for a governor than it is for anyone else who's just coming out of the governor's office.
Reforming Congress may be impossible, but he at least hopes to help reform his own party and is on a special committee studying changes.
Well, anyone who took a look at the National Convention on their television set or listened to it on the radio or read the newspapers after 1968 knows that both parties are in need of reform. We need to open up the party processes. They've been in the hands of the party structured people themselves. The people feel left out of the selection process. And it's been said before, I can't remember what political boss it was, that the people can do the electing if they just let me do the nominating.
The new senator from Iowa, Harold Hughes, who brings a new brand of independence to Washington. This is Paul Duke for Monitor on Capitol
Hill. Certainly have a lovely home here, sir. We like it.
Well, I suppose we should get down to business. Now, my firm handles all forms of insurance. You name it, we write it. Just what kind are you looking for, sir?
I'm not.
Come, come now. Don't be bashful. After all, you called us, you know.
Look, fella.
Say, you've got quite a collection of car racing trophies there. You don't still race, do you?
I manage to keep my hand in the 500.
Well, I hate to put a damper on things, but that hobby of yours makes you a bigger insurance risk.
No risk about it, fella. My cars all use STP oil treatment to cut down the big risks like friction and wear. STP keeps all cars' engines, on or off the racetrack, running smoother, cooler, quieter, longer.
What I meant was...
Matter of fact, it would make your own family car run a lot better.
You know, you're probably right. I'll get some on the way home. Now about your insurance, Mr. Passion.
Sorry, fella. My name's Granatelli. Bud Passion lives next door.
STP is the racer's edge.
Thank you.
Orchestra with Hey Jude, a song that's another possible Grammy Award winner, written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney of the Beatles. This is Monitor, heard on NBC stations all around the country. A case in point, the Outdoorsman station in the Big Sky Country, KARR, in Great Falls, Montana. Back shortly, Gene Rayburn. Also here is your truly, Gene Rayburn. Well, let's start all over again. That's right, here's Monitor. And also here, yours truly, Gene Rayburn. Throughout this weekend, Monitor is presenting regular reports on the dramatic flight of Apollo 9. At the same time, we're sampling a cross-section of opinion on our space program in general, especially whether its tremendous cost is justified.
I believe that it's a good program because in the near future there isn't going to be enough room on this planet for a generation. I've heard that by the end of this century that there's going to be an overpopulation of people in the world, about somewhere around 400 billion people, and I believe that we must explore the moon and settle the moon in order to keep up with our population explosion.
That was a comment from a college student in West Virginia. We'll have more reaction after some music. Here's Glenn Campbell with his latest, Galveston.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21. Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea waves crashing while I watch the cannons flashing. I clean my gun and dream of Galveston.
Americans know that Gumdrop, Spider, and Red Rover are nicknames for, respectively, the Command Module, the Lunar Landing Module, LEM, and Spacewalker, Russell Schweiker. But along with the widespread jubilation over the success of Apollo 9, concern is being expressed in Washington and elsewhere at the tremendous cost of it all. To find out what people are thinking, pro and con, about our space effort, we ask the question, do you think our space expenditures are justified? Here are some answers from students at West Virginia University.
I think that the money is probably justified if we can get some good, usable knowledge from the space program. If we can make some new breakthroughs, or just for the sake of exploration, it's more than likely justified. Kind of like seeing science fiction come true a little bit.
For one thing, I think we have enough problems here in the United States without the tax outlays that have to go to the space program. I feel that it's a tremendous amount, and I don't think that the nation can stand the taxation as it is, and the space program is just an overburden.
It appears to be pretty well justified. I have enough confidence in our leaders that I think that anything they'd spend on something like this would be pretty justifiable before the actual allocations and expenditures were made.
Endeavor scientific research, the answer to many questions that man has. Are we the only form of intelligent life? Or are we life? I think this justifies it right here.
I don't think it's justified because I think there's too much trouble in the world. It's a race with Russia, with the other leading progressive countries, just to see who can get there first. We have people starving in Biafra. We have people starving in this country. I've worked with Vista. I've seen it. If anything, it's improving the Cold War, making it exist longer just to see who can get there. And what are we going to do after we get there? Kids are dying every day. We spend $3 million in Vietnam, and I don't see it.
Many people think we should be spending more money here for poverty programs and education and what have you. But it's our duty and responsibility and, to expand our knowledge and better mankind.
The space program is seen by the man on the street, or rather the student on campus. This division of opinion is reflected among our country's legislators, too. Some of them believe our space effort takes money away from more urgent programs here on Earth. This view is shared by Wisconsin Democratic Representative Henry Royce, a member of the Joint Senate House Economic Committee.
We ought to be the country that found out how to clean up its waters, how to clean up its air, how to move people around our great metropolitan areas safely and quickly and cleanly and in a way to contribute to sound city planning. We ought to find out how we can solve problems of man's food supply from the oceans, but I would say that that's quite a different thing from space exploration. I'd like to see more spent on the problems of oceanography. We ought to be known as the metropolitan nation that was the first to clear up its slums, that was the first to provide complete medical care for all its people, to solve some of the mysteries of mental illness and the dread health problems of cancer and stroke and heart disease and all the rest. In short, a reorientation of our national goals, I think, is what is needed. Now, in my judgment, that is the way to acquire true prestige in the world as the country that solved the problems of its people in their lifetime here below.
Hear, hear. That's an editorial. You've heard Representative Henry Royce, one man who thinks we place too high a priority on space research. Just ahead, we'll be hearing about some of the results of that research with a progress report from our Space Center on the flight of Apollo 9. Stay with us. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
This is Joe O'Brien. All I said was fun, 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 and you. That's what I want. And boy, did I get told where to go. This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where you get what you want. Joe O'Brien, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
Hi, this is Johnny Carson. Not so long ago, it was thought that a mentally retarded child could only be taught to brush his teeth or dress himself. The National Association for Retarded Children did not agree. They adopted as their slogan, "Retarded children can be helped." Today, 1 million of the retarded are employed by private industry. Is that proof enough of their faith? The National Association for Retarded Children asks you to help your local association continue such work. Thank you.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
This is NBC News, the flight of Apollo 9. This is Dean Merrill, NBC News. The Apollo astronauts are midway through another nighttime period as their spacecraft sails over the southern tip of Africa in the 79th orbit of the Earth. The astronauts reshape their orbit into a more elliptical path by firing their service propulsion system engine. This is the engine designed to break the command module out of lunar orbit on future moon missions. The engine did not fire the first time the astronauts tried it. The malfunction has not been fully explained, but it is believed to have been a procedural problem, not something inherently wrong with the engine itself. The astronauts are pleased with the performance of the new camera they are testing as one of the secondary missions of the Apollo 9 flight. This is the SO-65 mission, four cameras, each with a different type lens filter, taking pictures which may help experts analyze crop problems around the world.
Houston, I might make a comment on this SO-65. It seems to work very well. It's easy to put together, and it seems to take pretty good pictures. I don't know if the quality, but it's easy to operate.
Okay, copy. How did it look from Tucson, Del Paso, Jim? Did you take those pictures?
Roger. We took the pictures, I couldn't tell exactly what the cloud cover was. Let me let Dave answer you. There was a scattered deck, like probably 2,000 feet or so. And other than that, it was pretty good. But that just first we got to within about a couple of 3 minutes of Houston, it broke out wide open.
This is Dean Mell at the NBC News Apollo Space Center.
Picture was great. Audio wasn't too hot there, was it there? But you stay with Monitor for another report on Apollo 9 1 hour from now. Gene Rayburn for Monitor. Here are the Vogues with an updated version of a 1956 hit. No, not much.
The stars don't need the sky. I won't love.
makes drug addiction so difficult to control is the fact that so many people in many lands make money out of the international traffic in narcotics. Here with the story is John Burns, noted authority on drug abuse.
The international drug trade is big business any way you look at it. 22 pounds of raw opium that a Turkish farmer grew and sold for $350 becomes worth $410,000 at its final destination in New York City. On its way to New York, this drug passes through many hands, and with each step, its price increases. After illegal opium is picked up from Turkish farmers, smugglers move it on to Syria in armed convoys of camels, mules, and occasionally trucks. Often there are many gun battles as the caravan makes its way across the borders into Syria or Lebanon. There, the opium is put through a purification process, which converts it into a so-called morphine base. Now, a much more convenient size for smuggling, 1 kilo or 2.25 pounds of morphine base is worth $700 to $800. The drug is then shipped out of this stage, usually to France. After the conversion process in Paris and Marseille, which changes a kilo of morphine into a kilo of heroin, the heroin is often sent on to Italy. Its value increased to $3,500. The Italian underworld specialty is distributing the dope to consumers. The Italian drug syndicate export their heroin by ship from Naples, Genoa, or Palermo, or by airplane from Rome. Almost always, the shipment's ultimate destination is New York City or Montreal, where dockside each kilogram is now worth up to $18,000. The chain of profits doesn't end there, of course. The heroin is passed along by a succession of wholesalers and pushers within the United States before it reaches the consumer. A single kilo of heroin, after being cut a number of times, may make as many as 80,000 fixes, which are ultimately sold for about $5 apiece. Thus, we see how a drug worth a few hundred dollars at its source becomes worth almost $500,000 to the American drug syndicate. Almost all of the opiates reaching the eastern coast of the United States are distributed by the mafia. Mafia members do not retail the narcotics personally. Like high-powered corporation executives, they issue the order to and make deals for less eminent operatives, who in turn corral the handlers and pushers. According to one old-time narcotics agent, stopping the illegal traffic in narcotics is like trying to empty the sea with a little spoon. As difficult as this job is, he and all his fellow agents are dedicated to breaking up these insidious narcotic syndicates once and for all. They deserve our interest and support. This is John Burns for Monitor.
We are wandering, we are wandering, like the shadows of the sun. Never quite the same at evening, as when morning had begun. Tasting wine from many vineyards, testing truth from many shores. Looking into funhouse mirrors, looking out of prison doors. Upon a table, charting phases of the moon, tearing cobwebs from illusions, spinning new ones in their place, finding solace in the chalice, or forgiveness in a drifting through
the pathways of the stars, seeking answers from the rainbows in refrigerated jars, staring voiceless at the ceiling as the jasmine candles burn, trading gold dust in for mushrooms, no deposit, no return. Changing, changing, ever changing, like the waves upon the sand.
Here, one of the lucky performers who's bridged the generation gap and appeals to teenagers and adults alike. Now, monitor tip for the home handyman. An easy way to patch a nail hole in wall plaster is to make a small cone out of waxed or oiled paper, then place the patching plaster inside the cone and squeeze it out through the end directly into the opening to be filled. That's a hard way to do it. Just get some spackle and spackle it. Hey, here's another household tip. Here's a good one. You always have to run next door to the neighbors and borrow tools when household chores crop up. Well, for less than $4, you can buy a vice grip locking wrench, the perfect all-purpose tool for the home, your car, or shop. Vice grip looks like a pliers with a bolt in its right leg, clamps on with a one-ton grip, yet releases with the flick of a finger. It's a portable vise to hold small objects for sawing or filing. Use it in close quarters against a wall where there's no room for an ordinary pipe wrench. It's a jiffy clamp for gluing or joining. It's a pliers, a wire cutter, a nail puller, a tooth puller, if you will. Just name the job and chances are a vise grip can do it. Available wherever tools are sold. 7 vise grip models to choose from. An entire toolkit and just one tool for under $4. Be sure the one you buy says vice grip, right on the tool. Maltese Medley, Bert Camford and the orchestra. Now a program note. Tomorrow evening on NBC's award-winning Second Sunday series, a special program will examine the increasingly serious nature of man's contamination of his environment, entitled Pollution, How Serious. It'll explore man-made dangers to human existence and possible remedies. Pollution, How Serious on Second Sunday, NBC Radio, tomorrow evening. NBC News coming up just ahead. I'm Gene Rayburn.
Hello, this is Ernie Banks speaking to you for East of Seals. Every time I hear Batter Up, I think how lucky I am making a living doing something I like to do anyway. There are thousands of crippled children in this country who would like to play baseball too. But many of these kids are working just hard, learning to walk with crutches or to get about in a wheelchair. What they want above all is independence. As an athlete, I know that courage and determination can help achieve independence. But I also know that it takes a lot more to make an able body out of a crippled one. That takes professional help, skill, dedicated help from doctors and therapists. The Eastern Seal Society provides this help through affiliates in every state. But it can't work without your contribution to Easter Seals. So please give generously to the Easter Seals today.
You could be a winner if you play our game, Fortune Phone, on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.